It's time for Talking.Golf on Wisconsin.Golf. And now, here's your host, Rob Hernandez.
And thank you for joining us here on Talking.Golf. This week, we welcome in Steve Bailey from the Marquette men's golf team, the head coach of the Golden Eagles. You know, Steve, we don't need a groundhog to tell us that spring has sprung. You guys helped usher in the spring portion of the college golf season last week at the Big East Match Play down in Florida. You're coming to us live from Puerto Rico, where your next event kicks off this week, the Puerto Rico Classic. What are some of the challenges of getting the spring season started, especially being a northern school? I'm guessing that maybe not. You've got the great indoor facility, but what are some of the challenges of kind of you know starting the engine again and getting this thing rolling?
Yeah, it's first off, thanks for having me, Rob. It's good to see you. And I think the biggest challenges for us are just the eagerness to tee it up, the excitement building, and you know the preparation the guys have put in over the winter. So there's always that just excitement to get back out and compete. And you know, I love the match play format. To me, I wish we did it, you know, a lot more in college golf. What a great opportunity to get those competitive juices flowing, and that was a good way for us to open up the season.
Well, it's kind of funny too, because the college golf season always ends now with match play at the NCAA championships. They play 72 holes of stroke play to figure out the individual champion. And then all of a sudden, you know, you identify with the top eight teams and they break into match play. I think it's great TV. It's a lot of fun to watch. It does kind of identify the best team, because you've got to be pretty strong, you know, 1 through 5.
Yeah, it's and so we actually played 7 this week. But yeah, it is quite interesting that our national championship is decided that way. And you know, 95% of our events throughout the year are in the stroke play format. But you know, it's I think you find out a lot about your guys in this format. You know, we preach so much to our guys and about finding a way, and what a great opportunity to do that in the match play format, because it's not always, you know, I might not have my best stuff that day, but you don't necessarily have to. You just need to beat the other guy.
Right.
And so to have that opportunity to, you know, to figure out a way, and we had some matches that kind of went that way last week. It might not have been pretty, but it was enough. And
sure.
And so, you know, what a great way for our guys to, you know, one, to get competitive reps in, but, you know, to really find out early on in the spring season who they are. And, you know, for us as coaches to really see, hey, you know, who's going to step up and, you know, help us compete at a high level this spring.
Well, and it was good stuff last week. On day one, you knock off Villanova 6-1, and then Butler 5-2, and then you wrap it up with UConn, which has really been a great rivalry, I think, for you guys in college golf, with a 5-2 win. So my math says 16 of the 21 matches over 2 days go your way. And in that final match, 3 eagles, 26 birdies, 17 bogeys, 2 double bogeys, but you know, 26 birdies in one match between 7 guys is a pretty good number. And one of the guys didn't have any. I mean, Max had a tough day that day. As you say, you know, match play can go, you know, one of two ways. And, you know, that was the one day that he didn't win. And, you know, so it was a kind of cool, a cool format. What did you learn about what you saw? And you know, those are pretty convincing wins with those 7 guys.
Yeah, it was. Thanks for breaking it down for me that way. You know, it's I think the one thing we talked to our guys about after is that, you know, we needed everybody. And although those, you know, you reel them off that way and they sound pretty convincing wins, but it didn't seem that close when you're in the midst of it, or didn't seem that big of a margin.
Sure.
You know, when you're in the middle of it, but you know, ended up, I think that's a testament to our guys just, you know, battling. And maybe, you know, a few of those matches, you know, guys had some pretty big turnarounds. I look at, you know, Vinny's matches, you know, he went 3-0 on the week, and I'm pretty sure he was down in all of them, you know, through the front nine or so. And But especially a guy like him, you learn a lot about him and in that format and just that the maturation just over a semester and just to see him grow the way he has, it's been fun. And sure, he has a long way to go still, but it's fun in that format. Like I talked about earlier, just seeing these guys find a way and figure out, you learn a lot about yourself and I think a lot about, hey, it doesn't always have to be pretty. You just have to just keep battling and until the last one falls. And so that's one thing our guys have embraced. And I truly believe that it becomes contagious. If they can all gravitate towards that, and just in even in preparation stuff we're doing, we're trying to make the best of our opportunities at practice at home. And a lot of those, we call them gauntlet, putting sessions where they're really hard to finish. And if they can get through it and battle through those tough stretches, without looking to be perfect, that's, you find out who they truly are. So yeah, it was fun. It was fun to compete, and it's fun to win. And I always tell our guys, it's hard to do in college golf. And typically we're facing 12 to 18 teams, sometimes 24 in a tournament. So
Sure.
you gotta definitely savor those moments when when you get in the winner's circle.
Three of the guys went 3-0. You mentioned Vinny Cervantes, Ryan Banis, and I hope I'm pronouncing his name right, Johan Vidal, or is it Vidal?
Yeah, it's so yeah, the Swedes would say Vidal,
Okay,
but
very good.
yeah, but he's what a great addition he's been. He and Vinny both.
Yeah. I mean, Johan was what, Big East Player of the Week because of his work, right?
He was, and I mean, you could have obviously picked any three of those guys,
Yeah.
going 3-0 this week, and he ended up winning by the largest margin of victory in his match. But man, Ryan's really. His growth over the last year. He was in the lineup early on, his freshman year, but then wasn't most of the year. And it's a testament to the work he's put in. And so much it starts with our leadership. And I think that the biggest step was with Patrick. What's transpired with his game over the past year and kind of started last summer. And but like I talked about earlier, it's become contagious amongst our guys, and it doesn't just happen. It's not talent. I wish we had enough time in this podcast to talk about Patrick's his growth and just where he started and where he is now. And but so much of where he is now, it's we always talk to our guys about it, you find it in the dirt. It's not some magic formula that happens, or it's not that they're just overly talented. It's, but Patrick's done some things that are uncommon in preparation and his daily habits, and that's really filtered throughout our team. Ryan's been someone who's really kind of latched on and, followed the guy who, he went to school with and was one of his best friends at back home. And so it's been fun watching, their growth together, and then it's just filtering throughout our team. So it's and then the just the addition of Jordan and Josh as coaches, they've brought so much to the team and to help us. And so yeah, we got a lot of good things going.
Absolutely. Patrick Adler and Ryan Banis, both from Winnetka, Illinois. They went to Loyola Academy, a couple years apart. But like you say, you've got some pretty good leaders up front. Patrick Adler, and then of course, you've got the reigning Wisconsin State Open champion and Max Lyons, which was a huge feather in his cap last summer. You had a great summer going into a solid fall, and now you're coming back in the spring. How much of this Big East match play, what did we learn? What can our listeners, kind of derive from the results in terms of, who the powerful teams are in the Big East? Obviously, you got to win the Big East to get to the NCAA regional. Did this play out like you thought it might last week?
Yeah, I mean, necessarily we wouldn't have to if we continue on the
It's
run
true.
we've been on. We might not have to win it, but that's always one thing we're looking to do, certainly. But to be honest, one thing we talk about a lot is let's really hammer home, our daily habits and our process of what's going to allow us to be the best version of ourselves. And if we can do those things, feel pretty confident that that outcome is going to be in our favor. So, and for each guy, that's going to be different each week. I think too often we want to look at the scoreboard and yeah, we love to win. It was fun to win three matches and take home the title of the Big East match play, but it's we did the right things leading up to that to allow us to be successful there. So I think continuing to do what we do in preparation has allowed us to get there. And I think we know what that formula is, and it's continuing to, like I said earlier, be uncommon in how we prepare. And if all the guys can jump on board there and not seek perfection in what we're doing, because that's not this game. We obviously know the ebb and flows that it brings, and just continuing to embrace the challenge that golf is and love it for that, and enjoy this journey while we're on it. So it's we get to go from that match play event and then merge into this tournament here in Puerto Rico, and it's always a I'm pretty sure there's four of the five, I believe, top five, four of the five teams in the country, top five teams in the country here this week. And so it's good for our guys to be in this arena and just go compete. And our mission doesn't change in what we're setting out to do this week, and maybe a little different in the stroke play format, but was good momentum going into this one.
Yeah, boy, you touch on a couple things. First of all, you're right. You don't have to win the Big East to get to the NCAAs, especially Steve. I didn't realize you're up to 48 in the NCAA rankings on Clipped. That's pretty good stuff, and trending certainly in the right direction. They've got your record at 57, 12, and 1, which is means you've finished ahead of 57 teams and out of the tournaments played so far. Do you look at those rankings every week to see, I know last year all the coaches were, because you didn't quite understand. It was a change for everything from, the old golf stat rankings to where we are now. I mean, do you, first of all, I mean, 48's pretty good, but I take it you feel you can go even higher.
Yeah, I think we just, one thing we talked to our guys about at the end of the fall was what, not, hey, put our emphasis or, energy into where we are, but what do we need to do to go catch the other 47 teams? And so to have a little chip on our shoulder and let's go do what we need to do to track down a few more, not hang on to where we are. So, that's always just trying to take steps to improve and get better. So yeah, it doesn't help you when you put your energy into, hey, we got to hang on to it, or what do we have to do in the rankings? It's, to us, that's all outcome based. And your mind's going to go there at times, but it's for us, it's to be able to reach into that toolbox and grab all the things we know are going to help us. And that's not one of them. If we're putting our energy towards what our ranking is each week, then that's just noise, and that's going to weigh us down. And so yeah, it's going to come up, but it's about pushing it aside and putting our focus on what's in front of us. And for us, that's getting prepared for this week and going to hit that first tee shot as best we can.
And obviously, Puerto Rico is a tournament that you've played in for many years. And as you mentioned, top ranked Ole Miss will be there, LSU in the top 10, Oklahoma, the Badgers will be there with the University of Wisconsin. Our friend Bennett Swavely and the Minnesota Gophers are there. So you've got some regional rivals, you've got national powers, you've got a pretty good mix of teams that Purdue's brought together for this thing. What has this tournament been like in the past? And how do you use it in terms of that process of getting from the start of the spring season, towards the end and the tournament season?
Yeah, it's obviously a great way to kick it off, isn't it? In the stroke
Yeah.
play arena. And it's always a good barometer. You're gonna get an opportunity. Cheer is a, we use this one in the recruiting process a lot. It's, you're gonna get a chance to play against the best in the world. And what a great opportunity for our guys. And so once again, when the first tee shot is hit, it's like, all right, let's put our blinders on and not focus on any of the logos that are on anyone else's shirt, but we're gonna see how we can best get the ball in the hole. And so that's, we're trying to prepare guys to do just that. And but yeah, it's a great opportunity to see where we stack up against the best. And I always say, I go back to a couple of years ago, we get asked in the recruiting process, how do we prepare in the winter? What's it like when we go to that first event? And I said, well, Hunter Eichhorn was able to shoot the lowest round in college golf, 61, here a couple of years ago, and that was the lowest in all of college golf that year. So if he could do that, we're well prepared for the season. So yeah, he's given us something we can hang our hat on in that. And so yeah, it's we feel we've done enough to get to this point to be able to go compete, and now it's about getting out and doing it.
You'll take Patrick Adler, Max Lyons, Johan Vidal, Ryan Banas, and Vinny Cervantes to in your starting lineup. Mason Schmidt, you will play as an individual. I know that the lineup is always one of those things that I'm sure, I don't know if coaches lose sleep over it, but for you, does it pretty much manifest itself based on performance, or how difficult are the decisions at times to figure out who the starting five should be?
Yeah, it's always tough. It really is. But golf is a game that, with scores, it's more often than not, it's pretty clear cut. So it's nice to be able to take individuals and bring some extra guys here and there to play in the same golf course. And it might be at times a little easier as an individual. Maybe you're a little more freed up that, you're somewhat unattached. But to have six of our guys on the same golf course, it's a you get a pretty good idea of where everyone's game stacks up. And yeah, but that's it's good. And we have that competition within, and every day we're competing. We have what we call kind of a win the day competition to finish all our practices, and we always want to put our guys in the arena every day to compete. And so we're doing it every day. And it's for us, we love the competition. I mean, Mason, he might be in the sixth spot, but his game has taken tremendous strides, even since November, for him. He's gained a lot of speed, and we're going to see good things from him. And so it's good that he has an opportunity to get here and compete. And yeah, I think they're all excited to tee it up and get going.
And we should mention too, you've got one of the better indoor facilities in the country, in my opinion. It's you've got room, you've got opportunity to let the ball fly. It's not like you're hitting to a mat or a screen, or I'm sure you've got that opportunity too. But talk a little bit about the resources that you have at Marquette, and how that helps you kind of bridge the gap between the fall and the spring.
Sure. Yeah, I mean, it's certainly a world-class facility. And a few years back we put up a dome as well on campus, and so we get to see 115 yards of ball flight in there. And then we have eight wedge targets we put out from 30 to 100 yards, and so we definitely have the wedge game dialed in, heading to our first events. And in our indoor facility as well, we with the technology these days, some of these courses, before the match play, we were able to play Bear Lakes on the simulator and
Oh
have
yeah.
some match play matches leading up to it. So that's been a nice advantage, for us of being able to, it might be on a simulator, but it's, we're able to see it and
Sure.
visualize what it might be like. So, yeah, the technology's been great, and we can hit about a 60-foot putt in our facility. And so there's plenty of room to compete. You just give us a hole and some green turf, and we're able to do a lot with it. So we're making the best of our situation. And obviously we have a world-class trainer, and So we put a lot of emphasis on just getting our bodies ready and prepared. And so, yeah, I mean, it's I continuing to really, our guys are really embracing what are we going to do to keep being uncommon in our preparation, and seeing how that, manifests itself into the competitive mode and getting out and competing.
You mentioned earlier you've got two pretty qualified guys with you on the coaching staff, in Jordan Niebrugge and Josh Robinson. We'll talk about Jordan in a minute, but I mean, the good news is Josh is on your staff. The bad news is he's not in the lineup. He was your top finisher last year at the Big East Championship, where you guys finished fourth. Both he and Aiden Lafferty kind of led the way. You've got three guys back from that team, so a fair amount of experience. Obviously, you've got great competition for spots. How do you look at, what you did last year, what you bring back, maybe what the guys learned from last year's experience that are coming back? And I mean, Josh obviously was ready to go for that Big East Championship last year. I'm guessing he can provide a lot of maybe mental preparation experience to the guys as to how to be ready for competition.
Yeah, I tell you what, Josh is he's a huge addition for us. He's, I talked a little earlier about just habits, and we use an app called Habit Share, and it's really a big part of our program. Basically, just giving transparency for each of our guys to what is it going to take for you on a daily basis to be the best version of you, and Josh did it better than anybody, and you could see it in just his growth as a player and person. And for us, it was such an easy hire, and I'm so glad he's with us on that end. So he's been able to basically take all that he's learned along the way, and now be on the coaching side of it, and kind of knows how we operate too. So that's been great. It's been fun watching he and Jordan collaborate, just with Josh's experience, and obviously, what Jordan brings to the table as a player and person as well. He aligns so well, both of them do, with just our values and what we want our guys to be in every facet of their lives. It's not, golf's a piece of it, but there's so much more to what we do, and on a daily basis. And so both of them, have just been tremendous mentors for our guys in so many different arenas. So yeah, they make my job so much easier. We're so blessed to have them, and in so many areas, they've helped us grow.
Yeah, and Jordan's name's come up quite a bit. I talked to Max Lyons about a month or so ago for a story that'll be coming out in our Wisconsin.golf yearbook about, his title defense coming up, way down the road at the State Open, but this last year of college golf, and the plans for the future. And I think multiple guys that I've talked to from your program have talked about Jordan being a great resource and a sounding board for, should I go pro? Should I, should I work at it a while? How soon, do I really want to go after tour school and the qualifying school? So he's got that component too, because he's been there and done that, and that has to be pretty cool to be able to say, well, talk to Jordan about it. He might have some good insight based on where you are now and where you want to get to.
Yeah, it's I've told our guys that there shouldn't be a day that they don't head into that office and sit down. We always have the what we call the Dr. Phil chair in the assistant coach's office, and just the wealth of knowledge that both of those guys bring, and our guys need to soak it up, and in so many different areas, he's able to help guide him with advice from just his experiences. The one thing I really stress to him is to be to be an open book, and what to not be shy about sharing what worked for him, and then also what if he could go back, what would he do different. I think those are the things that he's done a really good job of and will continue to do to help these guys prepare not only for golf but for the next stages of life too.
I'm not sure our listeners appreciate how important it is to have a good coaching staff with you in this journey in this day and age, because the head coach is also navigating a lot of things that maybe you didn't have to navigate about 5 or 6 years ago. The NIL, the transfer portal. We talked about it over email when I was doing the story on the roster limits and its impact on recruiting. there's a lot of curveballs being thrown at college sports these days, and especially, I'm sure, college golf programs. Can you sort of talk about how you've navigated some of those issues, and you know, do you see one as being maybe a bigger deal to college golf than any of the others?
Well, yeah, I mean, there's certainly a lot swirling in our world, and you know, so much of it's still unknown. And I think April 7th we'll have a better idea of where we're going to go in the college landscape. But you know, I think one thing we know, we're hearing that's, you know, inevitable is that, you know, squad size or roster limits are going to be decreased. And you know, for us, that's maybe not as big of an issue as for other teams. We're currently sit at the number that, you know, they're setting for college golf or for men's golf is which is nine. And you know, it sounds like the Big East is going to opt in, so we'll be we'll be at that number. And you know, if everything holds true to what we're hearing. And so you know, I think there's still a lot of unknown, but you know, once again, for our guys, it, you know, it's like, all right, well, let's not put our energy into things that we have no control over, and we'll wait and see what transpires with this whole process. But yeah, it's certainly yeah, it's just the unknown, I think, for a lot of folks has been, hey, we just want answers and know how to proceed and move forward with a lot of this. But I guess we'll have some more clarity when April 7th comes,
Sure.
hopefully.
Yeah. Hopefully, when the NCAA court case is kind of, you know, I guess, resolved, and we have some more idea of what it means for the landscape. You know, when we talked via email earlier, you know, from your end, you know, a roster limit, you know, historically will maybe not, you know, impact your ability to develop players. I think that seems to be the biggest concern, is that a lot of the programs that, you know, bring kids in that, you know, show signs of potential, but maybe aren't there yet, you know, they might have to produce sooner than you would like in a developmental process. Is that kind of your, you know, a big concern of yours as to how many of these guys that you bring in you can actually, you know, bring along at a comfortable pace?
Yeah, that's really been how we've operated throughout the years. You know, we've always brought in those folks who, hey, we're gonna maybe take a chance on this guy. We he aligns with everything that we're looking for in terms of his character and work ethic, and you know, we can see a lot of upside to, you know, to his game, and we've thrived on that in the past in terms of building our roster. And yeah, that might be a thing of the past now, and which is a little unfortunate, and you know, so, a lot more so in the other sports of football and basketball. But you know, for us, yeah, it's something that it's going to be different, and you know, we're unfortunately not going to be able to take that chance, maybe as frequently moving forward with the way things are aligning.
Yet at the same time, when I asked you about your advice to the, you know, the junior golf community that's looking to see the impact for them, the, you know, the current high school seniors, maybe kids in the class of 26, 27 going forward, I thought what you said was pretty, you know, admirable. I mean, you told the junior golfers to always have a set of goals, where you want to go, where you want to play, and pursue them with an unwavering work ethic. And I think the work ethic in this landscape is going to be so much more important, because, you know, it's easy to kind of look at what might be like, you know, the challenges that lie ahead for some of these kids, and say, oh, maybe I'll just be a student. But if you're going to go after it in this landscape and you stand out, you're really going to stand out. And I thought that those were some pretty good words. Because I think a lot of junior golf, I'm sure you've talked to some of the families that, you know, of kids you're recruiting, and there might be an uncertainty, and that's got to be a different conversation than maybe you've had in the past.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's one of those where, you know, you always, especially at the Division One level, you can't be 1 foot in, 1 foot out. It's got to be, you know, it's a you're basically have a full-time job in golf, and balancing that with school. And you know, I usually say you can do two things really well in terms of, you know, how you're spending your energy, but when you start adding, you know, a third and a fourth, they maybe get a little watered down there. And so You just if you're if there is that uncertainty that if hey, do I want to go put this much time into it? And I think that's your answer right there, that maybe the Division One level isn't for you, because there is going to be it's the commitment level is it's at that point where it's you're going to have to give everything you have to be the best version, or you're going to get you're going to get left behind. And so, but that's okay. If I think it's important to understand that in the process, and then okay, well, there could still be a place for you. It's just not going to be at that elite level. And maybe at the Division two or three, I can put energy into some other things, and maybe that's on par with what everyone else is doing there. And I'm
Sure.
not saying everyone, because that's not always the case, but it's definitely not. I don't think it's at the extent of what maybe the commitment level is, when we're trying to compete the way we are. And yeah, so it'll be interesting to see. I think one thing I told you is that I feel like there will be some more parity, because there aren't going to be as many spots at the Division One level. So I think the talent is going to be a little more spread out, and I think some folks can benefit. I think it'll be interesting to see what happens at the junior college level. The rule just passed to where you can go to the junior college for 2 years, but then still have 4 years of eligibility at a Division One level. So it'll be interesting to see the path that some take there.
And I've had that conversation. Someone brought that up. One of the kids in the class 2025 that was out here playing in a tour qualifier, and that was the first I heard of it. I asked the AD at Madison College, and he says at this point it's for this year, for this year's kids, that those kids will still have, they'll be able to reclaim eligibility at the Division One level if they transfer. But it sounds like it might be, that might be something that's going to happen soon, because it to me it makes sense. Why, if we're going to limit roster size, but we still want kids that are developed. The junior colleges, have an opportunity to be a great, serve that role in a great way, because they've done it for years, more so in other sports maybe than golf, but certainly in golf. And I think not, penalizing these kids with eligibility laws at the JC level would be a great way to go.
I think so too. I mean, you think that just knowing that you could have someone with that experience of playing at a higher level than junior golf for 2 years, and to come in and still have four more, I mean, that'd be a big bonus.
Want to
But
get you.
it'll be interesting to see how it all transpires.
Absolutely. And then we go from, getting into the program to what happens after. We talked about, Jordan as a resource, but by my count, you've got at least four guys playing professional golf now. And I saw one of them last week. Tyler Leach got off to, first of all, won a pre-qualifier to get in the Monday qualifier for the WM Phoenix Open. Had a slow start over at Pinnacle Peak, but then played the last 13 holes brilliantly, 400 par, just missed by a bunch, because in a Monday qualifier you got to shoot lights out to get there. Your professional guys certainly all have the opportunity to get where they want to go. Hunter Eichhorn, Boom Sima Rhee, got qualified for a tour in his native land of Thailand, and then Aiden Lafferty has been out there, playing some good golf too. What do you look at with that group, and are you excited to have that many guys trying to chase this game for a living?
Yeah, it's always fun to see those guys thrive. And then OJ Farrell's obviously
That's right.
still playing as well.
Yep.
Yeah, and he's has status on the DP World Tour and the Challenge Tour over there. So yeah, I think it's fun. Once again, you talk about just that contagious atmosphere, and it's I think we're seeing, especially as spots being limited moving forward, it's getting a little tougher out there. So yeah, I think it's definitely a hard road, and just finding those opportunities to go out and compete. And I see one of our former pros is actually starting up with another pro tour this summer. So
Right.
Austin Kondrowski is doing that. I know you
Yeah.
guys have done a little coverage on him, and I'm excited for that opportunity for him. So yeah, I think it's finding ways to stay competitive and getting out there and and getting in that arena. I think that's the biggest challenge if you don't have status of, where am I going to play, and how am I going to get prepared to continue to do this for a living.
Well, it's fun to watch those guys, but it's going to be really fun to watch your guys this spring. We'll be watching with great interest the Puerto Rico Classic coming up here this week. Enjoy the weather. Enjoy the opportunity to continue to grow. And Steve, appreciate the time here on Talking.Golf.
Yeah, Rob, I'm always so amazed at the amount of time you give to our sport, and I think it's so unique, and I don't know if there's anything like it across the country. So thanks for all the energy you put into it, and you guys are doing a great job.
Well, I appreciate that. That's Steve Bailey, the head golf coach at Marquette, here on Talking.Golf.